The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Well, good morning. Welcome back. We're on lesson 11 of our series on the Apostles' Creed. And I will tell you now that I know there are going to be 15 lessons total in this series, which are quite a few lessons. But there are 15 lessons total in this series. And so on lesson 15, which should take us, I think, into early August. I think so. I don't know. I don't plan this stuff out. Anyway, let's begin. So we're talking today, lesson 11, about I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Let's open up with a word of prayer and get going. God, thank you. I pray that you'll bless our time right now, Father, and help us to hear what you have to say. Thank you, Father. We ask it in your name. Amen. So let's look at the creed. I feel bad. I felt bad because we kept passing over the last few weeks. So let's read it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. That's where we are today. The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. So, that's where we are. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard someone say, I don't have to go to church to become a Christian? Yeah, I've heard it all, a lot. Well, I commune with nature, and that's how I get close to God. All right. So technically, it's true. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Just like you don't have to go home to be married. But if you keep avoiding home, sooner or later, somebody's going to start asking questions. God never intended for the Christian life to be lived in isolation. One of the greatest lies that Satan tells people is, well, you can just do this on your own. But the New Testament paints a totally different picture. It tells us that when we become part of Christ, when we come to Christ, we become part of something bigger than us. The Apostles' Creed reminds us of that when it says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. Now, before anybody gets nervous, I've said it before, but today's the day we'll really dig into it. Catholic Church does not mean the Roman Catholic Church. There's a distinct difference there. The word Catholic means universal. Okay, so this is one of those terms that has kind of transmogrified over the years. Okay, it's changed in meaning. And so when they wrote the Catholic Church, the Holy Catholic Church, they weren't talking about the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, it didn't exist. They were talking about the universal church. So it refers to all believers in Jesus Christ everywhere, across every nation, every language, every century. Everyone who has placed their faith in Christ belongs to this universal church. Okay? That's the good news. Because it means that when you became a Christian, you didn't simply gain a Savior, you gained a family. We like to feel like Remnant is a family. Well, you're part of God's family too, which extends beyond Remnant. So let's dig into this. First of all, the church is Christ's church. Now, I think one of the biggest misunderstandings that people have is when they say, well, I'm going to church. This church needs a new carpet, or the church needs a new roof. Actually, the building needs carpet. The building needs a roof. The church is the people. We are the people. We are the church. Matthew 16, 18. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now notice something that's really important here. Jesus didn't say, you build my church. He said, I will build my church. I will build my church. Here's the truth. The church belongs to Jesus. Doesn't belong to the pastor. Okay? Jeremiah and I are not, the church doesn't belong to us. We're simply the guys that got called to pastor it. Okay? We don't belong to a denomination, so the church doesn't belong to a denomination either. Not to a congregation. The church belongs to Christ. Now, imagine walking into a football stadium on a Monday morning. Stands are empty, the field is quiet, the scoreboard's dark. Would you say, well, there's no football team? No. The stadium is where the team plays. The players are somewhere else. The same thing is true of our church building. When everyone leaves leaves church on Sundays, the church leaves with them because you are the church. Okay? Look, the church isn't somewhere you go. It's something you are. Everywhere you go this week, the church goes with you. Why? Because you're the church. Like the profound saying, everywhere you go, there you are. It's the same thing here. Everywhere you go, the church goes with you. Now, the church is universal. The creed says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Okay? Catholic means universal, worldwide. The church includes every genuine believer who's ever trusted Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. I love this verse, and every time I hear this verse, all I can think of is John Michael Talbot and Terry Talbot, two brothers. John Michael Talbot is a Franciscan monk, by the way. Came out of the Jesus music in the 70s, early 80s, I believe it was. And John Michael Talbot and Terry Talbot released an album. And this song is on their album, them singing it together. John Michael Talbot sang this alone on his song, on his album, The Painter. You really want an incredible listen of just amazing music, go to your Spotify feed, go to wherever you get music, and listen to The Painter by John Michael Talbot. Incredible, incredible music. Now, so here's the truth here. There is one church. There are many congregations, many traditions, but only one Savior. If you come to Remnant, I guarantee you it's unlike most of the churches you've ever been to. I know that because I've been in a lot of churches and none of them have been like Remnant. One was close, and that was the one I started that called the Crossroads. We met for a while in Brawley, and then when I got promoted, I had to let it go. And that really was the genesis of me getting into Remnant. Okay? A lot of different ways that people have church. Some people have high church. With the doxology, and they use, can't think of the name of it now, but they use the list of adopted sermons, and they're very, you know, the pastor wears a robe. Okay? That's one way of doing church. There are other churches that are a little more traditional. You know, you have to wear a suit and tie, and you know, you got to be buttoned up. And the pastor, that's another expression of church, another tradition. But we all serve the same Savior. And that's what's important. Now, liken this to your family reunion. Okay? You got cousins that are loud. You got cousins that are quiet. You got the funny uncle, the weird aunt, the one that everybody hopes doesn't bring potato salad. And you know who you are. Different personalities, same family. You are in a rare church because you have two pastors. Jeremiah's style is different from my style. That's one of the things that I think works best about Remnant, is you get a chance to hear two different voices. Now, theologically, we believe the same, but we have different ways of applying truth and different ways of speaking. And it works. It works. I think heaven's going to surprise a lot of us. I remember hearing a guy said he had a dream, and that, you know, the Pentecostals were in this aisle and the Baptists were in this aisle, and then the Independents were in this aisle, and they're all waiting behind these gates to get into heaven. And they're thinking, well, of course, you know, we've got our own part because, look, we're different than all the rest of them. Then Peter comes in and says, okay, and he opens the gates and they walk in and they're all in one big room. To me, that's what heaven's going to be like. There are Baptists going to be shocked to find Pentecostals there. And there'll be Pentecostals that are surprised to find Presbyterians there. Tell you what heaven's going to do. Everybody's going to discover that Jesus never asked our opinion about the guest list. Jesus said, follow me, you're in. We need to spend less time criticizing Christians from other churches and more time celebrating what we have in common, and that's Jesus. I asked an Episcopalian, I think they call him priests, in Delano, when I was pastoring in Delano. We were having lunch together, good brother, and we really enjoyed our time together. We'd go to lunch maybe every couple of months. I asked him at lunch one day, I said, hey, you know, what's the difference between your beliefs and my beliefs? And he said something so profound. He said, I don't know. I've always focused on the similarities. Man, I felt about that tall. But he was right. Let's focus on Jesus and him crucified. Everything else, like my theology professor, Dr. Ronald Wright, said, everything else is spokes on a wheel. Jesus Christ and him crucified is the hub of the wheel. All the rest of the stuff, divine healing, speaking in tongues, you know, gifts of the Spirit, all these things, these are spokes on the wheel. They're not unimportant, but they're not more important than Jesus Christ and him crucified. You get one of those spokes out of line, and now you got a wheel that's out of bounds, out of round. Let's focus on Jesus Christ, him crucified, and then we can work out all these differences between us, okay? The church is holy. Oh, I forgot that. Wow, I forgot too. I wasn't here for Peter to bail me out sometimes like he does when I get behind. All right, the church is holy. Just a well-oiled machine. That's a part of it, Jeremiah. Working at peak performance or something like that. I said I would learn it, but I forgot it already. So the church is holy. The holy church. The creed calls it the holy church. Now let's be honest. Sometimes churches don't look very holy. Churches argue. Churches split. People get offended. I had a pastor who said they get in their favorite car, a Huff, and drive away. Pastors disappoint people. Members disappoint pastors. Sometimes everybody disappoints everybody. So what does holy mean? It doesn't mean perfect. It means set apart for God's purposes. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. But you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You're a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, You can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. A holy nation. We are a holy nation. The church is holy because it belongs to a holy God. When you're growing up, did you have good dishes? Remember the good dishes? My grandma had good dishes. We were poor. We didn't have good dishes. My grandma had good dishes. You know the ones I'm talking about? You don't eat those just on a regular lunchtime. On Thanksgiving, all the adults would eat on the good dishes, and all the kids would get, you know, paper plates. No, the kids would get just like the regular ones. You always felt like the good dishes were saved for like royalty. Right? The dishes were set apart. That's what holiness means. God has set his people apart for himself. You are the good dishes. Right? You're the good dishes. You're set apart. And look, God didn't save us just to make us happy. Missed one. God didn't set us apart just to make us happy. He saved us to make us holy. We're holy. Which brings us to the communion of saints. I'm in a mess here. Okay, I think this is kind of one of the most profound parts of the creed. The communion of saints. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say the competition of the saints, the comparison of the saints, the criticism of saints. It says the communion of saints, the coming together, one purpose, one cause, one baptism, one Father of all, to worship a holy God and be part of a holy nation. God created believers to share life together. That's another reason why you can't do church alone. You can't. Can you be a Christian alone? Yeah, but you're not meant to do it that way. And it's not easy, and eventually cracks will start to show. Acts 2:42 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. The early church didn't just attend services. They shared life, meals, prayers, burdens, victories, tears, joy. I just preached Sunday about get ready, quit carrying your baggage. You ever try to carry something really heavy by yourself? Somebody walks over and says, here, let me grab the other end. Now all of a sudden, it's not that heavy. Look, it did get lighter. You just shared the burden with someone else. You weren't carrying it alone anymore. That's what the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to be a place where we share each other's burdens. Try to make it lighter for each one of us. Some of you are carrying burdens that were never meant to be carried alone. God gave you a church family for a reason. There's a reason you're part of Remnant. Or maybe you're not from Remnant, you're from another church. Great. Thanks for listening in. But there's a reason why you have a church family. And if you don't have a church family, you're carrying that big steamer trunk full of junk all by yourself. And you shouldn't be, and you don't have to be. Now, like, we had a low crowd Sunday. A lot of people stayed home. Some people were sick. They called in and said, hey, I'm sick. Some people just, maybe it's not as important to them as it should be. Let me tell you something. Church is for all of us. In fact, let me tie this into the next point, which is every member matters. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, all you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. See, you matter. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and your hand is numb and you can't feel it or anything? You feel like it's gone? Well, when you're not with us on Sundays, or when you're not in church, whatever church you are, there's a part of the body missing. We're the body of Christ. All of you together are Christ's body. Every believer has a purpose. Nobody is unnecessary. Can you imagine cutting off your thumb? I don't need a thumb. I'll just cut it off. You would find out pretty quickly how important a thumb is. You ever heard the term sticks out like a sore thumb? Bang your thumb with a hammer. That phrase will become very, very clear to you. Every part matters. The same is true in the church. Look, some people preach, some teach, some sing, some encourage, some quietly pray behind the scenes. But every gift matters. Look, the people that come on Sunday mornings and put out all the signage and set up all the video stuff, they're every bit as important as me or Jeremiah when we preach. Because they've helped set the community together. They've helped set the tone of where we're going to be today. The guy leading worship isn't any more important than the pastor. The pastor isn't any more important than the rest of you. We all serve a part. Now, I know every church has at least one person who thinks they have the gift of criticism. I've searched the New Testament extensively. That is not a spiritual gift. My mom used to say she had the gift of discernment because she would, you know, see somebody and say, well, they're just not, that's not real. And she would say, I have the gift of discernment. I said, Mom, no, you don't. You have the gift of criticism. Look, stop comparing your gift with someone else's. God didn't ask you to be someone else. He asked you to faithfully use the gifts He gave you. My grandfather was a pastor. My uncle was a pastor. I'm the third generation preacher in my family. All of us are different. I really looked up to my grandpa. You know, you've heard me talk about him many, many times. I really looked up my grandpa and my uncle. So I tried preaching like my grandpa, but it felt hollow. Because God didn't call me to be Bill Brewer Sr. He called me to be Jerry Godsey. Quit comparing your gift with somebody else's. Be who God made you. If you're a part of Remnant, you're there for a reason. It may be to pray in the background. It may be to become a children's worker. It may be to come help on youth night. It may be to lead worship. I don't know. It may be nothing more than handing out bulletins on a Sunday morning and smiling at people when they come in. And that is such an incredible ministry. The gift of hospitality. You know, the person that lays out all the snacks and does all that stuff. Those are all part of the church, all part of the mission of the church. And it's important for you to exercise your gift and exercise it well. The church is God's witness to the world. Okay? Jesus never intended his church to become a social club or a museum or a weekly lecture hall. The church exists on mission. Look at Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. We have a mission. We should be out. We should be shining light into every corner of our lives, every corner of our society. The world should see Jesus through his people. Now, one of the cool things I saw when I was on the East Coast, and I don't think we have many of them on the West Coast. I think there's a couple, but on the East Coast, there are these huge lighthouses, and they're just beautiful. They're always set on the edge of the water, obviously, and their job is to light up and to let ships coming in know, hey, you're too close to the coast. If you can see my light, you're pretty close to running aground. But the lighthouses don't exist for themselves. They exist for ships lost in the darkness. The church exists to point people safely to Christ. And what do I mean by safely? Without condemnation, without criticism. I could have just as easily put, the church exists to point people with love to Christ, in a loving way to Christ. You're not going to win anybody by beating them over the head with a 25-pound family Bible or tell them how horrible a sinner they are and they're going to hell. Now you're going to win them by telling them about the love of Christ and what Christ has done in your life. You're to be a lighthouse that draws people. Ask yourself, does my life point toward Jesus or toward me? That hurts. Am I trying to bring people to Jesus or bring them to Jerry? Huge difference. Let's bring it all together. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. So let's talk about what we talked about. The church belongs to Christ. The church is universal. The church is set apart for God. The church is a family. Every believer matters, and the church has a mission. Years ago, a little boy picked up a single charcoal briquette from a campfire with a pair of tongs, and he set it off to the side. Now, you know how the charcoal briquettes glow in the fire. It's kind of cool looking. So it sets it off, and within a few minutes, it grew cold and dark. Then he put it back into the fire. And almost immediately it began glowing again. And his grandfather smiled and said, "That's why God gave us the church." You can be this little charcoal briquette over here all by itself, and you know, you're going to go cold and dark. But as soon as you're brought back into the fire of the church, as soon as you're brought back into fellowship, as soon as you're back with people who are also glowing with the love of God, who are also growing, who are also trying to be a good person in Christ, that warmth warms you back up. If you're having trouble in your life, the worst thing you can do is not come to church. "Oh, but Jerry, you know the sin I did." And? The church is a hospital for those who are sick. If you're struggling with sin, the best place for you to be is in church. Get your tail end in there on Sunday morning. Listen to the Word of God as it's coming to you. I can't tell you how many times in my years of ministry I've had somebody walk up and say, "Hey, preacher, man, that was exactly what I needed this morning." I had no idea what was going on in their life, no idea what battles they were fighting, but God did. And that's why God directed my sermon, God directed my words, and God opened their hearts. Fight your way to get to church, because the devil will try and stop you. You have a fight with your wife or your husband, or you know, your kids are being ornery, whatever. We make a million excuses. "I'm tired. I'm going to minister to Brother Pillow this morning." Shut up. Get to church. Get there. Don't make me come look. I will drag you in your pajamas. No, I won't. You know better than that. Look, Christians grow cold when they isolate themselves. But when believers gather together, faith is strengthened, hope is renewed, and love grows. The church is important. So I want to challenge you this week. Don't just attend church. Be the church. Encourage someone. Pray with someone. Serve someone. Forgive someone. Invite someone. Look, the church doesn't need another building. Within a 10-mile radius of where we meet for Remnant, well, there's probably 25, 30, 40 churches maybe. I don't know, there's a lot. We don't need another building. The world needs to see the people of God living like the people of God. One day, every local church will fade into history. Buildings will crumble, denominations will pass, but the Church of Jesus Christ will last forever. Isn't it a privilege to be part of something that even the gates of hell cannot overcome? Wow. I love the church. Let's have some discussion questions, shall we? What does it mean that the church belongs to Christ rather than to us? And by the way, I didn't say it earlier, but I pastored a church, two churches, where the people in the congregation believed that the church belonged to them. And they ran pretty quickly into a pastor who didn't believe that. It's not the way it works, guys. How does understanding the universal church change the way you view other believers? Do you look down on people because they don't believe the way you believe? I was youth pastor in Beaumont, at Assembly of God Church in Beaumont. And one day we had a Christian club on campus and I started going because I had kids in the Christian club. And then one day, like half the kids were gone. So I said, what's going on? Another youth pastor in town who didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and our church did, said that his kids shouldn't go there anymore because I speak in tongues. So I called the guy and said, dude, what's going on? He said, well, you know, you're one of those tongue speakers. Said, okay, but not at school, not in the Christian club. I'm just Jerry. He said, I bet you don't even use the King James Bible. I went, okay, there we go. There we go. Look, there are people in this world that they're so narrow-minded they could look down a straw with both eyes. Do not be one of them. Remember the hub and the spokes on the wheel. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes, it's something that I believe in, but it's a spoke on the wheel. The hub is Jesus. Why is Christian fellowship essential to spiritual growth? I think we discovered that. What, here's where we get to the rubber, meeting the road. What gifts has God given you to strengthen his church? What gifts, and don't tell me, well, I don't have any gifts. Yes, you do. Every believer has gifts. Every believer is part of the body of Christ. Even if you're the belly button, you're part of the body of Christ. I've always believed I was like an armpit or something. You've got a part to play at Remnant. And as you look around on Sunday morning, look at it with new eyes. Look at it with eyes that say, all right, God, what is here that I can do? Which part of this ministry that I belong to, that you sent me to, what role do I have in this church? And you know what? Your role may not exist yet. Years ago, when Esley was part of our worship team before she moved to San Diego, Esley was part of the worship team, but she also worked with kids with autism and special needs. So she started a ministry at Remnant. That was part of her heart. She started a ministry at Remnant for kids with special needs. And she taught young people in our congregation how to handle and how to sit with these kids with special needs. And so we had parents coming with kids that were autistic. Autistic was really the biggest one. The kids were autistic, and the parents, you know, had trouble with them in services because they're disruptive sometimes. But they could go to kids' church and sit with Esley or the kids that were part of that ministry, and the parents could come and sit in church and not worry about their kids. I remember one lady came to me and said, this is the first time I've been able to come to church and be comfortable in a long, long time. Look, folks, God may lay a ministry on your heart and we don't have it yet. Okay? Just remember Godsey 4:18, my own Bible verse that I made up. If God makes you aware of a need, he expects you to do something about it. And no, telling the pastor is not doing something about it. Still love me? You have to, or you're not going to heaven. What is one practical way you can be the church this week instead of simply attending church? Wow. Look, folks, the church is a gathering of people. I always think of it like a conga line. Yeah. Da, 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 da. Okay. You got all this line of people doing this weird dance. Somebody is at the head of the line. I always end up at the back because I don't like to dance because I look stupid doing it. Okay. So I'm usually the last to join the conga line. But think about Remnant as a long line of people. Yeah, some of them are at the head, some are in the middle, some are in the behind. Okay. But we're all in a train going the same direction. And if you're at the front, your job is to lead the people behind you. If you're in the middle, your job is to follow the people ahead of you and lead the people behind you. If you're at the back, your job is just to follow until you can reach back and bring some people in. The church is an amazing, amazing organism. And I believe, and you'll never persuade me otherwise, that the church is still the best way to lead people to Christ. Okay? A lot to think about. It's been a longer lesson than the other ones. Sorry. I'm not sorry. Let's pray. God, thanks. Lord, I pray this week that we would become the church. Not just a group of individuals, not just a bunch of people, but God, the church. The holy church. God, bless us. Use us this week, God, I pray. Thanks, Father. I ask it in your name. Amen. Next week, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Oh, you'll like that one. You will. All right. God bless you. See you next week.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You build a mighty fortress till